Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
MarkPatrickSeminars.com.
I know an MVP when I see one. Rex Hudler here at Olathe Ford Lincoln. Olathe Ford's MVP pricing gives you a better price, a no-fuss upfront price on every vehicle. Olathe Ford Lincoln, home of the world's happiest customers.
Knowing your breasts can save your life. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Komen and the Ad Council.
610 Sports Radio, broadcasting live from the Brown and Crouppen Studios.
The commercial-free half hour, starting at 8:30, is brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a Radio.com sports station. From the Radio.com sports desk, here's what we know.
College football's national championship, number one LSU snaps number three Clemson's 29-game win streak of the 42-25 win, finished 15-0 behind Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow, throws for five touchdowns and runs for another first LSU title since the BCS won in 2007. College hoops tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. K-State hosts number 23 Texas Tech. Tip off at 7 here on 610 Sports Radio. That's what we know. Now on to the show. Good thing New Orleans can handle like a aftermath party.
Well, especially one that big for a local university playing a home championship football game, right?
Pretty good. They can just keep it going on into the morning hours.
Oh, they have not stopped.
We're looking for marijuana.
Yeah, they have not stopped the partying down in New Orleans.
Hurricaned it away, I guess.
I mean, yeah, they're down at Pat O'Brien's, the former CBS
giant
announcer's bar.
Plastic cups.
Well, yeah. That's called a whale boat.
No, it is called a hurricane, actually.
It's
actually called the hurricane, yeah.
I thought the hurricane glass is what they serve like the Bahama Mama in.
No, the hurricane glass would be what they serve the hurricane in.
Tall thing with the,
the little ball on the bottom that holds the stool.
Yeah. With a straw.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is called the hurricane at Pat O'Brien's. It is their famous drink. You have one or two of those, and you don't remember the rest of the night.
Lemonade and some straws.
That's right. Get you some lemonade and a few straws. That's exactly right, man. Back in the day when we had audio.
So LSU wins their first title since BCS.
I swear you were going to say LSD. I don't know why.
Since their BCS title in...
Off to a roaring start today, aren't
2007.
We?
LSU will snap it one more time. 32 seconds. Joe Burrow, again, the snap, the knee, and the Tigers of LSU, a team of destiny and a team for ages, celebrate on the field here tonight in New Orleans inside the Superdome, capturing the national title and snapping a 29-game win streak for Dabo Swinney and Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson was trying to go back-to-back in three of the last four, and LSU... put him away after the early deficit behind Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow. He's good.
He's good.
He had one of the great seasons, right?
Yep,
had the
60 touchdowns.
Had the touchdown record for college football, not at some far-off school playing nobody.
Right, which is the record who we
no
broke.
No offense to Colt Brennan.
Right.
But he was at Hawaii.
Did
right?
you Google Colt Brennan recently? Have you Googled Colt
no.
Brennan to find out what Colt Brennan's up
no.
to? Well, he was arrested in December for like the third time. One of these guys who post-football life at 36 years old, he looks like he's 56 years old, and the post-football life has not treated him all that well.
So all he's got is either for 59 touchdowns once.
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow has one of the greatest – the greatest, probably, college football season of all time for a quarterback.
And
leads him to the national title.
The thing about that is, too, first of all, did you see the picture of Joe Burrow after the game where he's on the couch with his legs crossed smoking a cigar? It's like Len Dawson in 2019. It's really, 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 really good. It's probably the best picture you'll see of an athlete in post-game celebration since that Len Dawson halftime pick of him smoking a cigarette with a Fresca. But this one of Joe Burrow, he just looks really cool sitting there, you know, puffing away on this cigar with his legs crossed on a big leather couch. Like, hey, I just accomplished something. And you're right, Josh. He did have the best college season that we've ever seen from a quarterback. I mean, I don't think there's really any debating that. And how he got to LSU and Coach O winning that national championship when Mississippi State gave up on him. I think USC gave up on Coach O, too, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they had him out there as an interim coach for a little bit, and they gave up on him. And sometimes it's not the – you know, it's not the situation that you're currently in that you're really working for. You're working for that future job. And Coach O finally got somebody to believe in him down at LSU, and they took a chance, and now here they are, national champions, and he was able to get Joe Burrow and to get that kid out of Ohio or Ohio State, wherever the hell he was, and to get him to go down there is all the difference in the world. And that's what makes a college football team. I mean, you look around at some of these local teams here in the area, they don't have quarterbacks. I mean, Kansas hasn't been good since they had Todd Reesing as their quarterback. They've not been able to find that guy who can play that position. And once you find that guy who can play that position, especially at the college ranks, and even at the NFL ranks as well, but especially at the college ranks, if you can get yourself a difference maker at that quarterback position, the rest of the roster really doesn't matter. And you've got to find a way to get that difference maker at that quarterback position, especially in the college ranks. And every time you see a team win a national championship, Josh, what is it? It's the quarterback. And the reason that Kansas can't get out of their own way for the last decade plus since Todd Reesing has left is because they haven't had that quarterback. And the teams that are successful and the teams that win big in college, they just flat out have the quarterback. Every year you look at college teams and you say, who are the best quarterbacks? Those are the teams that are going to be competing and potentially winning a national championship. And you could say the same for the most part about the NFL. The best quarterbacks always have their team in position to win a championship. And until you find that quarterback and until you find that alpha male to be your quarterback in college or really in the NFL as well, you're not going to win anything. It really comes back to that signal caller. And we saw it again last night.
Yeah, it's just so easy. Just go get a quarterback.
Right. I mean, that's all it is. I wouldn't waste time. Like if I'm Les Miles or whoever's doing the recruiting at Kansas right now and whoever's doing the recruiting at K-State and who's ever doing the recruiting at Missouri and any other university, I'm not wasting time on offensive linemen or defensive linemen. I've got to find that quarterback.
After I exhaust every single resource to get the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like, well, we'll worry about
above and below board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like anything and everything to get the quarterback.
Correct.
Because that's where it starts. Look at every single one. A&M was on the map when?
When they had a quarterback, Johnny Manziel. Haven't been on the map since.
I mean, every single one of these schools, I mean, Oklahoma's on the map every year. Why? They have a quarterback every year. Plenty of these places. You got to go get the quarterback first and foremost. And however you got to go about getting that quarterback, you go ahead and get that thing done. So LSU wins their first title since 2007 with a discarded quarterback and a discarded coach.
Right.
Pretty good run. And then if you caught Clay Travis on before us, they were running through who they beat this year. Maybe the singular greatest college football season.
Yeah.
As well. The teams that they wrecked.
Correct.
On their way to the title and beating all these top 10 teams and the path that they had to take. That's a remarkable season for LSU.
Yeah, it really was. 14-0, 15-0, whatever it is right now, and a quarterback that threw 60 touchdown passes, that's pretty darn good.
Now, can I have my old man gripe here?
Yeah, you can have your old man gripe.
And I know it will probably go a little bit deaf, because if you're up, you probably are in the same boat I am. And if you weren't, then the number's going to be great, because it was on 15 channels last night
or whatever it was.
The game was everywhere. The game's on the wrong day again.
It is, yeah.
And it's on too late again.
Mm-hmm.
And they've screwed the East Coast.
Yeah.
Last night, did you stay up?
I made it to halftime.
Okay. So you made it to halftime. I stayed into the third quarter, but halftime was 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was too long. That's when I fell asleep, when they're going through every, like, top player in college football. I'm like, I'm out.
Halftime was 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it started at 9:15.
Yeah.
Okay. They were back about 9:40, 9:45. It was close to a half hour of halftime.
Yeah, that's too long.
I was kind of nodding off. It was like 10:25. It was like 6 minutes to go in the third. And they were 3 hours in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were 3 hours in, and they were 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. You can't do that.
Right.
Game was four something hours to get the national championship on a Monday night. Like I said before, put this on the holiday. Put this on New Year's Day.
Put this on New Year's Day at 4 o'clock. Yep.
In the Rose Bowl slot, it's done by 9. Everybody's on their way.
Yeah.
And plus it does, thank goodness for college football that they have ESPN, because otherwise no one would have been talking about this game leading up. There's no buildup to this game because everybody's high coming off the NFL playoff weekend.
Right.
Again, thank goodness they have ESPN, because ESPN beats you over the head with it because it's their property.
Right.
Otherwise they'd have nothing.
Nothing.
There would be zero buzz. The only reason they have buzz is ESPN. If this game was on Fox, you wouldn't know anything about it. Leading up to the game, ESPN wouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
And across every one of their platforms, I mean, they talked about it a lot yesterday when everybody else was talking about the NFL.
Correct.
So this game is kind of buried. It's in the wrong spot, and it's on too late.
Well, I had to go away from ESPN yesterday. Usually I like to come home and put on NFL Live on ESPN and see what they're saying about the Chiefs, or if they're even talking about the Chiefs. The last couple of weeks it's been about all the coaches being fired and hired and whatnot around the NFL. But that's kind of my routine. I get home about 1 o'clock, 1:30, watch NFL Live, whether it's on record or whatever. I had to go away from ESPN yesterday because all they were doing was talking about the national championship game. I didn't care about the national championship game. I wanted, number one, I wanted NFL coverage, and then as the day went on, I wanted Major League Baseball coverage to find out what was going on down in Houston. Yeah, and ESPN didn't offer any of that to anybody.
I care
yesterday.
About the game when it comes. I do.
Yeah,
I like it every year.
But I don't need 17 hours of pregame and some old man on Bourbon Street throwing a football through a circle. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that guy.
No, I didn't. Oh. I watched the game. I enjoyed the game. I didn't need, but I understand you have to have the buildup. You have to have the lead up to
should
it. You should.
You
ESPN
should.
Does a great job at it. But I still think this game is placed wrong, and I think you'd get more eyeballs on it if you had it at a different time and day.
And I still think college football, as much as it is football, it's not the NFL. It's still a very niche market. It's still a very southern type of sport. I mean, look at the two teams that played in that national championship game. You had LSU and Clemson. A lot of the country just doesn't care about that, and a lot of the country isn't going to watch that game because of where it's placed and how late in the evening it is.
I mean, I'm sure it'll do well, and I have nothing, and it makes tons of money, so it won't go anywhere. I get it. Then I was also like looking, I'm like, man, this game, again, is really late. It's on the 13th of January.
Yeah.
And granted, it's Kansas's fault they didn't advance any further. I was done November 30th.
Yeah, sure. I understand.
My last game was November 30th. That's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
6 weeks to wrap up your season.
That's a long time. The NFL gets it done in 3 weeks, out and on with their life. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's amazing
the NFL does it. Three more games, right?
Yeah.
So they have the conference championship and the semifinals and the finals. But 6 weeks to get that done?
I mean, even baseball's done within a month. I mean, you know, and they've got how many rounds of playoffs and games and whatnot to take care of. And yesterday for me, like, and I guess because I'm not a college football fan, I don't have a dog in the race. I don't have a college football team at my alma mater that I can root for. I'm not a college football fan. And yesterday, college football, to me, in my opinion, wasn't even close to being the number one sports story. The number one sports story for me is the Chiefs, the NFL. What's going on in the NFL? I can't get enough consumption of what's going on in the National Football League right now, being that we have a team that is in the conference championship game. And then the number two story for me, and I'm sure I think the number one story in America yesterday, was Major League Baseball and what was going on with the Houston Astros and how guys got suspended and then the owner holds a press conference and fires those guys at a press conference. Like, I've never seen anything like that before. That was the number one story in sports yesterday. And then, oh, by the way, national championship game late tonight. If you make it to halftime, great. If not, then, you know, that's on you as well. And you kind of move on. So I think right now college football can do a better service to its fans by placing that game at a different spot.
Or making more fans by putting it in.
Or making more fans, too. I mean, my kids aren't up at that kind of hour. That's what you want to do. You want to cultivate and nurture new fans. And having these games that late on a Monday night after, you know, the holidays are over, people are back in their routines, the last thing they're doing is sitting down with their kids watching a game that goes well into the morning.
This game was in Eastern time zone.
Yeah. No, LSU, Louisiana Central.
Louisiana
time.
Still, New Orleans is?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking, I'm like, they're not even playing to their market, but I guess they technically still are in the Central time. That's just way too late.
Yeah.
It's just way too late. You're just burying the half the country. And then the West Coast probably doesn't care about LSU and Clemson anyway.
No, nobody's watching that game.
They're
out there.
They're way out of their realm. All right, we'll hear from Andy on what they learned from last year and how much they've flushed it compared to maybe what we have flushed it from the AFC Championship, as they're hosting now back-to-back years in the AFC Championship game. So we'll hear from Andy. What did the players learn from last year? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So it's on to Tennessee rematch. Once again, Titans beat the Chiefs in Nashville in Week 10, which was the last Chiefs loss, 35-32. Jeff Saturday of ESPN with a little preview of what's ahead.
You can't have two teams that are on the further ends of the spectrum, right? I mean, you have one who you saw Kansas City, and their leading rusher today is Patrick Mahomes, 50 yards.
Yeah, their pass sets up their run.
Exactly. And you flip it over to the Titans. They want to play ground and pound, then have big plays with Tannehill behind it. So as you're looking at Derrick Henry and what he can do, and the first time they played, watch him. He had 180-plus yards against this team. They are not afraid to run right down the middle. Chris Jones didn't play today for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got to get back for the interior portion of that line for next week. Derrick Henry can keep Mahomes. Here's the difference. The Texans couldn't keep Mahomes on the sideline. They scored, but they scored quick. If Derrick Henry has those tough 5-6 yard gains, 20-yard gains, those type of things, but they can keep Mahomes on the sideline, you give the advantage to the Titans. If it's a fast scoring, all of a sudden the Chiefs put up 21, 28 points in the first quarter and a half, can the Titans match that? I don't think so. So it's really just a matter of which team gets off to their style of game and can play that type of game. It's going to be a ton of fun to watch.
And I think with the first time around, I don't think the Tennessee Titans really realized what they had in Derrick Henry. And I think after that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, they realized what they had in Derrick Henry. And we haven't seen Derrick Henry slow down since that game in Week 10. And I think Week 10 was a very defining game both for the Kansas City Chiefs and for the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans woke up. I mean, we were talking about leading up into that game, the number one storyline down in Tennessee was the possibility of Mike Vrabel being fired if they didn't get this thing turned around. Now he's got his team in the AFC Championship game. So I think in that game against the Chiefs, the Titans realized what they truly had in Derrick Henry. And you look over his last 6, 7, or 8 games or whatever it's been, he's got 1,200 yards rushing, Josh. I mean, the guy has been amazing since that game.
He had one
with the Kansas City Chiefs.
What, one 100-yard game at that point in time?
Yes.
Of the season, it was 100 yards. And
right.
He went for the Buck 88, Buck 59, Buck 49, 103, had an 86-yard performance against in their loss to Houston.
Right.
And then 211, 182, 195 cents.
Right, and every game that he rushes for 100 or more yards, they win. That's been the kind of the line of demarcation
and then last 3
for
games,
Derrick Henry.
30 carries or more.
Yeah, exactly. And so they realized in that game, whoa, this guy's like a man amongst boys out here. We better start utilizing him. So I think it was a wake-up call for the Tennessee Titans and what they wanted to do offensively with Derrick Henry. They realized they kind of had a diamond in the rough. I don't know why they didn't realize that sooner, but hey, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, and they realized it. I also thought it was a very, 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 very telling game for the Kansas City Chiefs as well, where the Tennessee Titans took off and used Derrick Henry. The Kansas City Chiefs took off as well from that game after a loss, because I think after that game and going into that game, that was the first game where Patrick Mahomes was back, and I thought Andy Reid coached that day like a little kid who just got a new toy, and he was going to utilize that new toy, and he didn't care if at the end of the day the head fell off of that new toy and it broke. He was going to get as much play time as he possibly could and as much fun out of that new toy, and he did that with Patrick Mahomes, and it ultimately cost them that game at the Tennessee Titans, because they didn't play complementary offense that day. They totally forgot about the running game. They were doing stupid things on third down. And at the end of that game, the look on Andy Reid's face, and I said it on that Monday, the look on Andy Reid's face was like, I just totally blew this. I just let my entire team down with the way that I coached this game. And then I talked to people who were in the locker room who know Andy Reid, and they said, yeah, he's really wearing this loss. And since that loss and since that game against Tennessee, the Titans took off and they did things with Derrick Henry, and I think the Chiefs got more complimentary on offense, and that was the game where they realized they didn't have to go out there and score 50 every single time for them to win a football game. They could ride their defense. They could utilize the running game. They could play better complementary football. And I think that Week 10 game was kind of the line of demarcation for both of these franchises. And both of these franchises used that game, took good from that game, and became better football teams. And here we are in you know, Week 18 or whatever it is in the NFL, and both of them are playing for an AFC championship.
Andy Reid on to the Titans.
They're playing real good football right now. And they're strong. They're well coached. Mike does a nice job with them. And, you know, that running back's not a bad player. He brings it every snap. He's a big fella that can really move. Did it in college. Does it now. Got a good offensive line. Good receivers. Quarterback's playing well. You know, he's a you always like those stories when a guy – didn't have as much success as he probably would have liked at one place, but comes here and he's got the guys in the championship game. Their defense is playing good football and flying around. So and their special teams are good. So all the way around, this it's a well-deserved team to be in this position. So we've got to make sure we, you know, we have a good week of practice.
That was a little bit more than
we look forward to the challenge.
They have a good offense, defense, and special teams.
Right. That was a really good dissection.
Listen,
of the Tennessee Titans.
A little more in depth. Why?
Because he knows.
Yeah.
He knows he cost his team that game the last time and probably didn't do the best coaching job that he could have done to put his team in position to win. But I think when you listen to Andy Reid and when you hear him talk about the Tennessee Titans, you can tell, much like the Chiefs, and again, this is why these two teams are very similar to an extent. They both have taken on the personality of their head coaches. You got Mike Vrabel out there who's not afraid to kick your ass, is not afraid of anything, is not afraid of any challenge. No challenge is too big. He doesn't care who you're playing, where you're playing. He believes he's going to go out there and they're going to win a football game. And that's what they did in New England, and that's what they did in Baltimore. I mean, do you realize, Josh, the Ravens and Patriots were eliminated from the playoffs before the Chiefs even played a game? Did you realize that? The Ravens and Patriots were eliminated from the postseason before the Chiefs even played a game in the postseason. And that's because of the Tennessee Titans. They went into New England and they went into Baltimore, two places that you're not supposed to win as a visitor in the postseason, and they came out on top and they won. And that's because they embodied their head coach and they embodied what he's all about, the toughness, the grit, the I don't care what anybody's saying, we're going to kick your ass mentality. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs, as we talked about yesterday, embrace the personality of their head coach. Let's stay calm. Let's stay cool. Let's stay collected. Let's not freak out. If we get down 24-0, so what? We get down 24-0, we will figure it out. And when you can have your team mimic everything that your head coach is doing, you're going to have success. Look at the teams that have success. They are mostly mirror images of their head coach. The head coach is getting out of their teams what exactly they want to get out of them. And that's what's happening in Tennessee, and that's what's happening here in Kansas City right now.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs now back-to-back years with this game and with this game at home. Andy Reid and what his players learned from last year's AFC Championship experience.
Listen, for the guys that were here, I think they understand that, you know, it's different every level you go up in the playoffs. So there's a certain preparation that you need. I didn't feel like the guys were happy about the result of the game, but not to the point where they didn't realize that there's another week coming up here against a real good football team. So, you know, nobody was in there doing backflips over this last game. They understand what they've got ahead of them.
Isn't that kind of cool to hear him say that? Okay, we won. Great. We got another game. Like, they, as he said, nobody's in here doing backflips. Nobody's here chanting. Nobody's here cheering. Nobody's here celebrating. We know that we still...
I didn't see that guy smash two beers together and pour them over his head.
That's true. That is true. I bet
Tyreek did a backflip. He might be the only one that could do a backflip.
Do you know anybody else in the world that can do a standing like backflip like that?
Yeah, there's plenty of people in the world.
Who?
Well, I mean, gymnasts come to mind.
Name a name.
Simone Biles.
Okay, fair enough. Could she do like three in a row? Or didn't she do something here in Kansas City?
A flying Walinda.
That's true. A Walinda could definitely do something like that. But I think that's cool that Andy is saying that these guys understand we're not there yet. We've got one more game to win. We've got one more opportunity to put us into that Super Bowl, to give us the opportunity to play for a championship. And when you start celebrating prematurely and getting too excited early, you then forget that there's more out there and there's more to gain. And it's good that the Chiefs understand and know that, hey, we're not done yet. This is just one more step to where we want to be. And I think teams that get too excited over a playoff win in the early rounds of the postseason in any sport, they probably don't accomplish what they need to accomplish. The eye is at the end of this coming week. And on Sunday, that's the end of the line to get to the Super Bowl, not last week.
But also, I wouldn't be afraid to deliver that message. Again, you have to strike when the opportunity presents itself. You're getting this game on your home field 2 years
sure.
in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to win, yeah.
And you felt the disappointment of not getting through last year. Like, hosting AFC championships don't happen every week either.
No, they
don't. Or every season either.
No,
so
they don't.
You have to take advantage when you get these opportunities, and they've got a golden advantage to get themselves in, and they got to punch through.
I mean, you lose this game on Sunday, you're starting to think maybe we should just go on the road and play an AFC championship game, right?
For plenty of people next week that would be saying that. Yes, yeah. Plenty of fans would be saying that. Just never host this again.
Right, yeah.
You know, that type of thing. You should want to host. You should want to win it on your home field, but you got to do it.
You got to go out there and take care of business, and they've got an opportunity to kind of continue to play this revenge tour. Houston beat them. They beat Houston. Tennessee beat them. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
Kalen Saunders, by the way, can certainly do a backflip. I'm watching video.
Oh, that's right.
Now.
He can. Yeah, he can.
God, that is impressive.
It's more impressive for him than it is
Tyreek. I mean, the man's 320 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. What could you at 320, can you do that, Ryan?
I can't. I'm not 320, but I can't even do
that was a shot.
Can't even do a cartwheel.
The latest on Chris Jones, next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I don't know that, Adam. We'll just have to see how he does it. I mean, it's a day-to-day thing, and it was that way, after it happened the other day. So we'll see how he does.
Just from looking at his on-field work out there a couple of hours before the game, it didn't look like he was anywhere close.
Yeah, he was struggling.
Was it a difficult decision in that regard yesterday with him, up or down?
Well, no, not that. I mean, he couldn't push off and go, so pretty easy decision. Right there.
Literally day to day.
Well, yeah. The hope is from everybody that I've talked to, Josh, is that he does play on Sunday. And I think they really need him on Sunday. I think it will be very hard to contain Henry without him playing. I think they need him a ton. I think he's the most important person on this defense because he is right in the middle of that line of scrimmage. And we know how good that Tennessee Titans offensive line is. You got to have your best defensive players out there when they're going to commit to the run game at 35, 40 times a game like they have over the last couple of weeks. I mean, he is a beast, and not having Chris Jones in the middle there, I think really does hurt the Chiefs and their ability not just to stop, Derrick Henry, but also the ability to have that rotation and keep guys fresh, especially late in the game, because I think this game is probably going to be close. I don't expect this to be a blowout like the Chiefs blew out the Houston Texans the other day. I think this is going to be a game that is going to be close, and fourth quarter is going to be huge.
Did you know that the last three games between the Chiefs and the Titans, Chiefs have lost all three of those.
Sure.
I think we all know that. They have been decided by a combined 6 points.
All three games.
In three games.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty remarkable considering the last one was like a three-point win.
It was a three-point win, a two-point win, and a one-point win.
Yeah, so they've got to find a way to kind of get off that schneid when it comes to the Titans. But I think it's going to be a close game.
So and
I think
we got to beat them by seven, and we've won.
And we got to buy some sage.
Right, an aggregate scoring. Yeah, we will sage this thing. Is
there bad voodoo around the Titans?
I think there's bad voodoo around the Titans. I think there's bad voodoo around the AFC Championship game from last year. What with D Ford being offsides, not scoring in the first half, and giving up the...
We didn't do it this year, though. We didn't do it prior to the Texans.
Well,
That turned out okay.
Yeah, I think the AFC divisional game last year against the Colts got that taken care of for the divisional round, but we have never won an AFC Championship game at Arrowhead, and we don't beat the Tennessee Titans, and Andy Reid doesn't beat the Tennessee Titans. He's one and eight in his career.
One and four with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's been his kind of kryptonite, and that's why I think having Chris Jones back and healthy and able to play is so important, because this game will come down to the fourth quarter, and if Tennessee's able to run it down the Chiefs' throats in the fourth quarter, they can't get off the field, and Derrick Henry just continues to churn and burn, there may be no Super Bowl, So I think the Chris Jones injury is very significant, and getting him back is going to be key.
693-06 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a couple of minutes. Calf injury in the cold, that was my fear last week, the not being able to push off. But you're absolutely right, too, about the Titans. I mean, unlike last week with the Texans, you thought, could they really commit to a game plan to beat the Chiefs, which is run the football and do it? There's no doubt the Titans are going to do that. They don't want to throw the football.
No, they have no interest in doing that. None.
They're throwing the football only when absolutely necessary.
Right.
If you don't stop our run game, we're just going to continue to run it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not deviating from that at this point. This has gotten them there. They're running with their running back at 30 carries a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback is only throwing when absolutely necessary. And, heck, the running back may throw it.
The running back may throw
when absolutely necessary. So they will firmly commit to what they are doing right now, which has got them to this stage. So it's going to, unless you're able to put up a couple of quick touchdowns and get them out of it, it's going to be tough to get them out of what they're trying to do.
It really is. And if they do get out of what they try to do, then they've lost the football game, because I don't think you can win a game coming into Arrowhead with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. If I'm not mistaken, Derrick Henry has more touchdown passes this postseason than Ryan Tannehill may with that one that he had the other day. And I think right now down in Tennessee, the kickers and punters get more work than the quarterback does right now. He's just kind of standing off to the side, and it's just hand off to the running back. And they were the first team that really did stay committed, even down big like they were against the Chiefs at home. They still stayed committed to that running game, and that got them back in to the football game and eventually propelled them to a victory. And so, yeah, Chris Jones's injury is huge right now for this team because he's such a good player, but also provides that rotation ability of that defensive line, which has been so good over the last 6 or 7 weeks for the Chiefs.
Tannehill's thrown for 3 and run for 1.
Oh, yes, he has?
In the postseason.
He's found paper.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, that's shocking news to me.
Oh, no effects get in the way of good stuff.
He's got like 100, I think it's 160 yards passing in the last two games.
Yeah, it's 80 and 70. Yeah.
3 touchdowns.
Yep, nicely done by Tannehill. But they stick to their guns, and they're saying, stop
us.
So
you're going to need everybody up front, and you're going to need Chris Jones help try to stop the run.
That's exactly right. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. What do we got today, Brother Ryan?
913 would like to know who your favorite Seinfeld character is.
We've had this before. I mean, I really like Kramer. I think
Can we just take out the four main ones, then?
If you want to take out the four main ones,
because Kramer's the right answer.
Then it's the Moyle.
What?
The Moyle is
my favorite.
I always
like Jimmy.
Really? Jimmy,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Jimmy's got his eye on you.
Yes,
I like the guy in third person, Jimmy guy.
That is good. Frank Costanza.
That's a good one.
The right answer. 316, where can I get some of that lot D tailgate info?
We are going to be tailgating on Friday morning, Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Our house, Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Cornhole tournament this week. We've got a $1,000 Rally House gift card to give away. We've got Old Shawnee Pizza to give away. We've got wings from Smokehouse Barbecue to give away. Four Hands Brewing will be on site to give away some swag. Bob Allen Ford is giving away a Chiefs Yeti cooler.
What?
Oh, my. A Chiefs Yeti cooler being given away by Bob Allen Ford.
And more.
We've got free massages from Sunrinity again. So there's a lot going on Friday morning, Rally House. Whose house? Rally House, 97th and Quivira. We will be there. We want you to be there as well.
And Lot D will be there, so you can get their Sunday hookup too.
Oh yeah,
the info there.
That's right. And Tailgate Ted will be on hand tailgating, coming up with all kinds of great recipes for everybody. He's driving over from Lawrence and bringing his grill. Ryan will be cooking hot dogs. So we got.
I gotta do that again.
I think
we had plenty of food. I gotta do that again.
Just reheat some of the ones you made last week.
Yeah,
they were all gone. Everybody loved my wiener.
Of course. I think about getting a sheet cake too. Sheet cake may be a nice accoutrement.
Are you going to get the Costco one?
Oh, it's $20.
It's got that lovely frosting in between the two. I don't know what they're doing in that
breakfast
sheet
pizza and a sheet cake.
And a sheet cake. Doesn't a sheet cake sound good for Friday, though?
What are you going to put on the cake?
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs, go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sex or AFC championship tickets?
Sex.
I think sex is cheaper.
Yeah, lots.
Less, of course.
Some would probably differ, but
yeah, depending on who you are, but yeah.
Are you going to do your anti-bad luck mojo ceremony you did last year to get past the Titans curse? I think you should.
See, there it is. People want the sage. Howard Balzer emailed me from St. Louis, who did the sage back 20 years ago when the Rams won the Super Bowl. And I had an email from him before I left Arrowhead Stadium going, you better get your ass out to Arrowhead and sage for the AFC Championship game to make sure the Chiefs win. My wife is – I've had numerous people going, my wife – I thought we were doing that.
I was questioning as well the resage. I didn't know.
Yeah, we've got to because
I don't know if you resage if that does anything.
We'll go burn one outside of Arrowhead.
All right.
816, I coach high school basketball. Salute to you. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, no doubt.
The same parent has been kicked out 2 games in a row. Let the kids play, people.
Well, if the same parent has been kicked out 2 games in a row, that parent needs to be banned for the rest of the year. They're obviously a nuisance. Don't allow them back. And if you're that parent that's getting kicked out of your kid's game, you're a loser.
What if that parent's like Shooter, the assistant coach?
Well, then we can find a new assistant. I just think, honestly, if you're getting kicked out of your kid's game, you're a loser.
Ooh, now, maybe. 913.
There you are.
Brad's maybe.
Yeah,
you came around on that one.
I did.
That was good.
Worst thing in the world is an itch on your back that you can't reach with either hand.
Then you just go up against a wall or a door jam or something
My
like that.
My kid recently discovered the, how he can Baloo the bear, scratch himself on the wall.
Yeah. The wall scratch is good.
I have
back scratcher.
I have back scratchers.
Back scratcher
on both nightstands. So regardless of what side of the bed I'm on, I can scratch.
You actually own a butt scratcher?
I own 2 of them. They're wooden.
Don't you have your wife who can say, "Hey, rub this itch for me"?
She's not always there for me, Bob. I'm an independent man. It's 2020.
Butt scratcher.
Beer guy will stop by Friday morning. Another 100% chance of precipitation Friday. Stay warm and dry.
Yeah.
Well, let's. Not to rain on our parade here. Someone tell Mike Vrabel his wiener is safe this year.
Mike Vrabel kind of backtracked on
that.
He did.
He did.
Yeah, very upset about that. Now that they're getting so close to it, he's like, oh.
Yeah, I just did it so their show would be entertaining.
Right.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Literally said that.
Yeah. 816 is Eric Fisher. Lucky they didn't get a flag for using a prop. I thought you couldn't use the ball as a prop.
I've seen people pour beer on themselves all the time.
I mean, I know Marcus Peters got fined for pouring beer on himself.
I think he got fined because he drank it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But what if a drop accidentally fell in Big Fish's
mouth?
Well,
I mean, then you have to go back and look at the tape, and there'd be a replay review, and we'd still be there.
Come out the way I intended.
No.
That feels like the spot to end it.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out. It's been a tough week for a Houston sports fan. It got a lot worse yesterday. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It's gone from bad to worse in Houston. Not only did they cough up a 24-point lead, it was not funny, but true and strange to hear them spin yesterday, Fesco. Like, the Chiefs were the first team to come back from a 20-point or more deficit to win by 20 points or more. But then the flip side is Houston is the first team to blow a 20-point lead and then lose by 20 points.
Correct.
So, like, the reverse is also true, right? So it's really bad down in Houston. And then to steal the news cycle, okay, Texans blow a playoff game. And now the baseball GM and the baseball manager are the ones that get fired. Not the football side, right?
Correct.
They're still going. But the baseball people are all fired, banned. The Astros are fined. It was quite a wild day yesterday down at H-Town.
Yeah, it really was. And if you were to tell me at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon that there was going to be a coach in Houston fired, I would say, oh, that's
Bill
definitely
going to
be Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
No question about Bill O'Brien. He's definitely going, oh, it's A.J. Hinch you're telling me that is fired. And originally him and Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, were suspended a year for their cheating scandal down in Houston. Remember, they were banging garbage can tops and whistling and stuff like that, right? So they were originally suspended a year. Houston Astros lost a first and second round pick for the next two drafts, and they were fined a whopping $5,000.
$5 million.
Yes. I mean, a whopping $5 million, which is the highest amount allowed by baseball.
A record fine of $5
million. $5 million. Okay. $5 million. That's like two at-bats for Albert Pujols or something.
Because,
like that,
you know, the World Series generates
60.
They
made $60 million, I was told, by winning the World Series in 2017. And so they were fined $5 million, okay. You know, a 12th of what they won.
Still come out ahead.
Is what they still come out ahead. There's no question about it. And I'm watching this, you know, kind of go on down in Houston yesterday. And I applaud the owner, Jim Crane, for firing the general manager and firing the manager. I think that was a good move by them. And Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, he may get a worse punishment than just the one-year ban that Hinch and Luhnow got from the Houston Texans from the Major League Baseball at the Astros, because he was clearly the ringleader of all of this. Like he was the bag man, you know, in all this. He did all the due diligence
Should
and all the stuff behind the scenes. Right. Yeah.
That's the punishment.
Go manage Oakland, you know, like the worst possible place, Tampa or Oakland or Miami. You can go manage Miami.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a bad one.
Yeah,
I mean, at least
one.
You're in Miami.
But still, you're managing the Marlins where nobody's going to your games. And so all of this goes down yesterday.
No pressure.
And I'm thinking to myself and you know, thinking out loud, what was the punishment for the Astros again in all of this? Like, were the Astros weren't punished in all of this. Major League Baseball did nothing
yesterday.
He's
a little bit embarrassed. The owner's a little bit embarrassed.
Right.
That's it.
That's it. But Major League Baseball did nothing yesterday to discourage cheating whatsoever for an organization, because the Astros are still champs. And somebody said to me yesterday, oh, well, you know, people are going to mock their championship. Who the hell cares? I'd give them the finger with the ring
on it. It happened.
I
saw it.
Yeah. I mean, they won. They absolutely 100% won. And so that's the biggest problem that I had in all of this. Major League Baseball did nothing yesterday to dissuade anybody from cheating. And if you don't think that didn't resonate in Major League Baseball yesterday, you are wrong. Major League Baseball people are looking around going, well, hell, why not cheat? we're not going to get punished. So we had to fire a manager and a general manager. How often does that happen in Major League Baseball? Daily, right? You're constantly changing out managers and general managers in Major League Baseball. You lost a first and a second round draft pick. What if that first round pick was Brandon Finnegan? I mean, like, oh, whoop-de-doo. You know, we lost the guy that never played really at the big league
now,
level.
Now, the Astros did make the most of their first round picks when they
No
suck.
Question, but also they didn't do it. I'd take that money and allocate it towards international spending and go down to the Dominican or go to Japan or go someplace else
or just
that isn't part of the draft.
Just change their philosophy for a couple of years and go get free agents.
Yeah,
go get all free agents.
Right. And $5 million, I'll scratch that check tomorrow if I'm a Major League Baseball club. So there was nothing in that punishment that dissuaded any team from cheating again. Major League Baseball did not punish the organization. They punished individuals, but for cheating, there was no repercussion whatsoever for the Astros franchise.
No, a little bit of embarrassment at $5 million and a couple draft picks.
Big deal. And in 2 weeks, nobody will care.
I could now easily overcome that as a franchise.
If you strip...
It's not crippling for a franchise at all.
It's not. Not at all. At all. Not at all. It's not.
I got to go find a new manager and GM. Big deal.
Okay, half of Major League Baseball does that every winter anyway.
Yeah,
big
deal.
Oh, it's a little late in the process. All right, so you promote an interim guy for your manager or whatever you want to do, and you move on. But there was no punishment at all for the Astros. If you were going to take a title, like if Major League Baseball was really serious about punishing for cheating, they would have taken the title away and they would have presented it to the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's a punishment.
That is a punishment.
Taking a title away is a punishment. Maybe suspending the team. Like when I gave out the punishments earlier, what I said they should have done is keep all of the central fund money that the team split, you know, a national TV dollar, all the national money that gets put in a pool and distributed 30 ways, cut the Astros out of that. That's punishment for an organization. Losing a couple hundred million dollars in shared revenue. That's punishment for an organization. What they did yesterday, a couple of dudes lost their jobs. They were the fall guy in all of this, but the organization wasn't punished, and Major League Baseball did nothing to send a message that cheating won't be tolerated.
Yeah, Jim Crane firing both A.J. Hinch, the manager, and the GM, Jeff Luhnow, after they were suspended a year by Major League Baseball.
There's two very important points I want to make today. I have higher standards for the city and the franchise, and I'm going above and beyond MLB's penalty. Today, I have made the decision to dismiss A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. We need to move forward with a clean slate, and the Astros will become stronger, a stronger organization because of this today. You can be confident that we will always do the right thing and will not have this happen again on my watch.
And while you're here, stop by the Major League Baseball shop. We still have 2017 World Series t-shirts and everything. So go ahead and do that because ain't going anywhere.
And right now we're offering a sale, 20% off of everything.
This was A.J. Hinch when asked about the scandal, right?
In October.
In October at this year's ALCS.
A.J., what do you think of the allegations you guys were using whistles to try to gain some kind of advantage?
Man, I'm glad you asked that question. And I thought it would come up today. And it's, you know, we talked about this the other day, and in reality, it's a joke. But, you know, Major League Baseball does a lot to ensure the fairness of the game. There's people everywhere. If you go through the dugouts and the clubhouses and the hallways, there's like so many people around that, that are doing this. And then, you know, when I get contacted about
all the clearing of the throat,
some questions about whistling, it made me laugh because it's ridiculous.
We just got busted.
Everybody's doing it. What?
There's nothing going on other than the competition on the field. The fact that I had to field the question before a really, really cool game out of Yankee Stadium is unfortunate, but we can put it to rest. It'll be the last question I answer about pitch tipping or pitch stealing.
Correct, because you're unemployed now. nobody's going to be asking you anything.
And then the GM basically is like, "One me, man." GM's like, "I didn't know anything about it. This was well below me. Like, I'm out.
Right. I'm
Everybody
out.
Knows I'm not a cheater. I didn't know anything was happening here.
Right. One basically, me. It was Alex Cora who was doing all the.
Was these guys down here?
Yeah. Well, would you tell your boss that you were cheating though? I mean, think
no.
about it. You know, no, you,
oh,
you
of course
tell
not.
Your boss. Hey, boss, we're cheating. We got this set up figured out.
Hey, watch next game. We got this signal. Listen for those trash cans. It's going to be a one for a fastball and
two for a curve.
Right, because the Houston was the same organization that got after the Cardinals for breaking into their computers, right? If I'm not mistaken, so they were mad at the Cardinals, and Luhnow and all that were mad at the Cardinals for breaking into their computers and hacking with that kind of cheating scandal, the cheating Cardinals. Now you got the cheating Astros right now. And again, Major League Baseball still hasn't sent a message to the franchise that cheating is not okay. Put this into football terms. If we could find a way to help the Chiefs cheat and win the AFC Championship game and get into the Super Bowl, but it meant we'd win a championship, but Andy Reid would have to lose his job, I think every Kansas City would be on board and go, let's go. What do we need to do? Because if that's all that's going to happen, you're going to lose your manager or your head coach, but the title's going to remain and the parade and the memories and all that's going to be here. I think for franchises that are starving for that championship, you're willing to do anything, and Major League Baseball has shown that you're not going to be punished if you go ahead and cheat.
I mean, I think you're underselling the value of good managers and good GMs. Now, whether or not Hinch and Luhnow fit that description, that's up to interpretation. But I think imagine the Royals without Dayton Moore. Imagine the Chiefs without Andy Reid. Like, you're not in the positions to succeed if you don't have those guys there. You don't do it with Dayton Moore or without Dayton Moore at the helm in 2014 or 2015, sure. And you're not where you're at right now with the Chiefs without Andy Reid. So I think you're underselling it a little bit. Like, it is a punishment. Now, they didn't have to get rid of those guys.
No, MLB didn't
hand that down.
No.
So, I mean, to an extent, I understand what you're saying. Like, there wasn't enough punishment handed out. I do wonder if Major League Baseball had even grazed the surface of considering a postseason ban for the Houston Astros.
That would have been good, too. Yeah.
But how would you do that? Let's just say, hypothetically, they win their division.
Well, how do they do in the NCAA? You can still go out there and play. You don't win it.
We just going to go ahead and give whoever is a bye, or are we just going to give it to second place?
Second place. I would give it to second place,
I'm fine with that, but I'm curious if Major League Baseball even approached that idea.
I got to get one of those LSU t-shirts that say legend status on it.
Coming up at 7, one national guy is very perplexed. Also, a line I love from the commissioner, Rob Manfred. Not going to discipline any individual players because it was, quote, impractical, given the large number of players involved and the fact that many of those players now play for other clubs.
Translation, we're tired of this story. We don't want to do any
Translation,
more
research. Translation, that's a lot of work.
Yep.
And really, we don't want to piss off every other owner by affecting their teams when they had nothing to do with it.
Correct.
It's really what it is.
It really is.
They don't want to offend the other owners by saying, oh, wait, Carlos Beltran, we gotta now smack you too.
Right.
As the manager of the Mets or any random player.
Well, they're going to smack Alex Cora real good. That suspension's coming down today.
Any random player who is involved in this that's playing for their team, well, we don't want to affect that. We don't want to piss off other owners by doing it. That's really what it is.
I mean, and ultimately,
and it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but ultimately, how do you prove culpability of every single player that was on that team? There could have been guys on that team that were not benefiting from the sign stealing that took place with Houston, too.
Judgments have come in as well. Literally, judgments, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge weighed in as only you can weigh in these days.
It's a great weigh in though.
Via erasing a post.
That's right. He had a post congratulating Jose Altuve of the 2017 MVP award back in 2017 when he won it on Instagram. He deleted that Instagram post.
You can't take that back.
There's no take backs. There's no give backs. You can't do that. I think that's hysterical. Like, that to me was the moment of the day yesterday.
Well, I guess I'll have to erase this now.
In all
won't
of
I?
This cheating scandal, he didn't say anything. He just silently hit delete on that. But the fact that somebody recognized that too and went looking for that, or however they discovered that with the New York Post, maybe Aaron Judge tipped them off that, hey, I'm deleting this post. But he deleted an Instagram post from almost 3 years ago now, 2+ years ago now, congratulating Jose Altuve on the MVP. That's about as passive-aggressive 2020 retaliation as you can get. That is fantastic. I love it.
Because 27 first-place votes for Altuve, just 2 for Aaron Judge.
Right, because Altuve beat out Judge for the MVP
that
year.
It's difficult to say he beat him out when he beat him by 25 votes.
Well, but if he wasn't cheating, maybe Aaron Judge with the New York vote gets it.
He would have narrowed that gap. Maybe would have been Jose Ramirez.
Not the garbage cans. Oh, it might have been a really, really
it's
close
fantastic.
Vote.
It is so good. He just did delete. I am taking away this post.
I mean, only
Jose
two LT. Other guys got a first place vote that year. Aaron Judge got 2. Jose Ramirez got 1.
Well, he was the runaway. I mean, it was clear. But how much of his success is based on listening to garbage cans?
346 batting average, a 410 OBP that year.
Yeah.
24 home run, 81 ribby.
What were his road numbers that year? Is there a way to figure that out?
Oh, no, there was no, no,
the, oh,
there
I
was,
can do that.
No,
for
there
you
was a breakdown. Right. I remember one of the stories when this went
right,
down.
And it was like night and day.
They
different.
Were doing home and road breakdowns of each person. There was only like one guy that was like legit both home and road.
Yeah.
And everybody else, there was a big discrepancy.
Actually, Jose Altuve was better on the road that year.
But I think it was the playoffs that you're talking about, Josh. Like the playoff numbers were much worse away from Enron.
I was thinking Altuve was one of the ones who was better at home than away. And there was like one guy who was like good.
Yeah, I think that was. I think those were playoff
numbers only.
Yeah.
Might have been. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Kansas City, radio.com, sports station. 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. How about $25 to 23rd Street Brewery? Ryan makes it very simple to win.
You know I like to keep it easy on the people. Just listen, dial. You'll listen for this.
They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me?
I do feel you.
Got to take care of the chicken.
That's true. Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 17.
Caller number 17 the next time you hear that drop. 913-576-7610 the next time you hear that drop. I'll hook you up with $25 to 23rd Street Brewery.
Say hi to Matt and the crew there and order the meatloaf. I always recommend the meatloaf.
I recommend $25 worth of beer.
That's not a bad play either. Colin Cowherd from our sister station, 1660 The Score and Fox Sports. He can't figure out 15. Just can't figure out this quarterback thing.
Mahomes is not somebody will ever figure out. And barring an injury, he's going to be Peyton Manning, or he's going to be Brady, or he's going to be Favre. You don't figure out the best pure passer in football. Nobody figured out Elway. Nobody figured out Marino. He didn't win a bunch of Super Bowls, but he was great until the very end.
I disagree with that, like, wholeheartedly. I mean, people did figure out John Elway. He was blasted in Super Bowls before Terrell Davis came to Denver. He was pretty much figured out. I mean, he was a guy that couldn't win the big one for many, many years until the last 2 years of his career when he was able to win the big one. And Dan Marino never got to the big stage except his, you know, first or second year that he was in the NFL. I think he was pretty much figured out. I mean, you can put up all the individual numbers that you want, but you're a quarterback in this league. You are judged by one thing and one thing only, and that are Super Bowl trophies. And that's what you have to capitalize on. You have to find ways to win Lombardi. And that's ultimately now how you're judged. Maybe back in the days of Bart Starr and leather helmets, we judged quarterbacks a little bit differently. But you are strictly judged right now based on what you do in the postseason. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will ever be, quote-unquote, stopped in the NFL. I think he'll always be, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 yards, 25 to 40 touchdowns, that realm of kind of numbers every single year. All that is fine and wonderful, but the one thing that I care about is how many Lombardi trophies is he hoisting. That's how you truly judge the success of a quarterback now in the NFL, like it or not.
And
John Elway has a career completion percentage of 56.9.
Yeah, like where is he getting off
that
with John Elway?
That would have been dead last in the NFL last year, by the
way. It would have been dead last.
It would have been dead last. Yeah. There was only three guys that had less than 60% completion. It was Andy Dalton, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen.
Those guys.
And Josh Allen had a 58% completion.
They were worse than John Elway's career completion percentage.
They were better than John Elway's.
Now, he's going to have to continue to evolve.
Sure.
And I think one of the things we've seen this year, like, to me, what makes him better this year, if you can be better than a 50-touchdown season, his ability to run this year, his ability to take off and get those third down. When the defenses have bottled up what you're trying to do, he's taken off with his feet. He's going to have to continue to tweak and evolve or whatever. He's got that arm, obviously. He's got the coach.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that it's on autopilot, right?
Right.
I mean, you're still going to have – there's defenses that are paid big money, defensive coordinators that are paid big money to research and get after you every single season. He's going to have to continue to evolve and adjust. But I think his ultimate point is correct, that quarterbacks like that give you the chance every single season.
And sure.
I don't think he's ever going to have one of those down years where you go, wow, he really played the Chiefs out of it.
Right.
There are going to be other factors at play probably besides the quarterback each and every year.
I think that's more so the point, too, about Elway. Like, Elway, although his numbers aren't just staggering, he was always that guy that – with the game on the line, you couldn't figure him out.
Sure.
Like it seemed like he was almost unstoppable when it came to two-minute drives or game on the line or fourth-quarter comeback or whatever the case may be. Like, John Elway, you couldn't figure that out. And I think that's kind of the realm that Patrick Mahomes is in. And I had a moment during the Texans game as I'm sitting there watching it, and it was like a second and nine or something, and Deshaun Watson rolls out, and then he kind of, like, just underhand flipped it to get away from a sack real quick. And I'm like, man, he didn't complete the pass. It didn't pan out the way he wanted it to. But still, like, to me, I sat there and for a moment, I'm like, man, this must be what it's like having to watch Patrick Mahomes play your team, because there's just those things. Like, you can't scheme against a left-handed pass. You can't scheme against some of these things. Like, there is no figuring that out. Just being able – That touchdown he dropped to Kelsey, that sidearm thing,
where it was almost over the line of scrimmage one.
It doesn't even look possible, the angle that he was at to do it. Like, you don't figure those sorts of things out.
That play looks more impressive today than it did on Sunday. I didn't realize how much he wasn't really even paying attention. That was kind of a no-look pass that he threw to Travis Kelsey when he was almost over the line of scrimmage. I was watching that a lot yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't realize how good a play that was in the moment until I went back and looked at it yesterday. And I'm like, that really was an unbelievable touchdown pass.
Coward says Kansas City's offense so built to last.
Kansas City is built to win a million ways. By the way, we've seen him win in snow. We've seen him win with a lead. We just saw him trail 24-0. And you never once, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you weren't freaking out. The play calling didn't change. The players didn't change. The game didn't change. And the minute they got the kickoff, you're like, okay, all right. They switched field position. Here we go. Two plays later, score. Kansas City scored 7 touchdowns. No drive was longer than 3 minutes and 55 seconds. It's different, and it's the kind of offense I think that will last forever.
They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me?
I feel you.
I do. I got you.
I do. Like, we got you. Got your back in that chicken thing.
You taking care of your chicken?
Yeah, always.
Red Door takes care of that.
Thursdays. Whew.
I wish I was as definitive as Colin is. I mean, I'm not trying to be like Debbie Downer and all, but no, I don't. I think that they're going to have to do some different things each and every year offensively. I don't think you can just play 7-on-7 football all the time.
Well, they did a little bit differently this year. They didn't run the ball at all, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that they're going to have to at some point.
Sure. Well, I mean, they did last year. Right? They didn't have a running back.
They're going to have to be a running type attack. I don't know. I mean, if you continue to put these offensive weapons around him and you have the quarterback, yeah, it's going to be an offense that's built to last, but I think it's going to be one that's going to be ever evolving. And probably will be as long as Andy Reid is drawing up on his, you know, beautiful mind board.
Well, I think when he says built to last too, you have to factor in the left-handed passes. You have to factor in the no-look passes. You have to factor in the rolling to your left, throwing to your right across the body type of passes that, you know, you don't plan for. Like, a lot of the stuff that I imagine Patrick Mahomes does is not part of the game plan. You know, I would love to know what percentage of plays he makes are improvised versus what they drew up. Like that Travis Kelsey touchdown pass. That was not a drawn-up play. You don't say run all the way to the line of scrimmage, don't look, and then flip the ball to Travis Kelsey in the end zone. Like, that's all instinctual. And that's why this offense is going to last, Josh, because Patrick Mahomes is as good instinctually as I've ever seen play that quarterback position. He has the knack and the ability to recognize things, to understand things, and to make plays when they're not there.
I'm just saying, they're going to have to, at some point in time, they're going to have to turn over this entire offense. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the only one standing.
No question. Okay? Yeah, soon will Travis Kelsey be retired. Tyreek Hill will be done. You know, yes. Yeah.
He's going to have to go through this with an entire new group of offensive players.
Sure.
Travis Kelsey may be the best tight end he ever plays with.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill may be the best wide receiver he ever plays.
Correct.
We don't know that.
But Mecole Hardman, though, may give him a run for his money.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't know. These may be the best two pieces he will ever have offensively around him.
He may. You're right. I mean, I think it's hard to say you're going to find a tight end better than Travis Kelsey.
Or he
Kelsey.
May just blast through every number and make the next guys into better versions of those groups. So, I mean, he's going to give you a chance to do it. Yeah, his improvisational skills are fantastic. Also, the sidearm throwing that he does, they still throws with a wicked spiral.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's just doing that to get through. No, that's just part of his game. It makes it very, very tough to defend. But this thing's going to have to continue to evolve. And, hey, these are problems for down the road. These are problems for down the road. I get it. I'm not going to debate him on those types of things. But it'll be interesting to see how this evolves over the years. And then, yeah, first and foremost, does it equate to title?
But I think you're also seeing the involvement right before our eyes. I mean, Mecole Hardman, a couple of years younger than Tyreek Hill. When Tyreek Hill goes on, then you got Mecole Hardman to move in. Maybe Blake Bell is a younger version of Travis Kelce, just a raw younger version of Travis Kelce. Maybe Deion Yelder, who the hell knows? Maybe he's a younger, raw version of Travis Kelce. Maybe they've already got those guys in place and they've already backfilled those guys. So when certain individuals retire, move on, you know, go on to the next, whatever the case may be, they've got that backfill here already in place. If you lose Tyreek Hill, you've got Mecole Hardman to move in and replace him right now. So I think they're starting to look forward. I think they're maintaining a winning type of football team while also planning for the future at the same time. And that's very hard to do in sports. Like, if you can do that in sports where you're constantly just bringing guys up and bringing guys in and sticking guys in the lineup and you're not missing a beat, that's a successful organization. And I think the Chiefs are kind of on their way to doing that right now.
Brandon in Olathe, your winner this hour. He gets $25 to 23rd Street Brewery just for listening. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize. Asking them to do this may not work. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.